Let's pray as we turn to God's Word. You are so precious, Jesus. And we do trust you because of who you are. Holy One, worthy of our praise and worship. Faithful, unchanging, never slumbering God. It's to you, O God, that we turn this morning. As we open up your Word, Father, we pray that your unchanging Word would be used by you to speak to us, and that we, O God, would listen. That, Father God, you would use this time to instruct not only our minds, but also our hearts, O Lord God. That in this time we would see you more clearly and understand you more, and through that we would praise you and worship you all the more, seeing how wonderful you are to us, seeing how magnificent you truly are. Father God, if you, through your Spirit, do not open our eyes and ears, we will not see you, we will not hear you, we will not understand your Word this morning, O Lord God. So, Father, we come to you in submission. Say, Father, would you speak to us through your Word? It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. And amen.
So did everyone get gifts for Mom?
Go out and get some good presents, get some good gifts for Mom. Maybe a nice card. And get to some of you who write really well and can write really poignant things like my dear wife does. You sit down with a card and write out what Mom means to you and how special she is. Those of you maybe like myself who can't do that, maybe you buy something that's really special, something that they love, that they really appreciate. Maybe you've given them a gift of giving them a day off from some of the thousands of chores and tasks, the work that they do, whether in the home or outside of the home. Maybe the gift was a little breakfast in bed for Mom this morning. Maybe we should have talked about this last week. But oftentimes on Mother's Day we'll give gifts, different types of gifts, not just things we purchase, but different ways of expressing to Mom how much we love her. Well, did you know that God also gives gifts? Not just to mothers, God gives gifts to us. God gives gifts to all those who believe in Christ Jesus, who call upon His name, who are saved, who are born again, who are Christians. God gives gifts to us. We're going to take a look this morning at the gifts that God gives to us. The gifts that He gives to us through His Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. The past 2 weeks, we've been looking at where God is calling us as a congregation to. The vision of knowing God and making God known. Well, this morning we want to look and say, okay, if that's where God is calling us, if He wants us to know Him in our heads and our hearts, intimately know Him and treasure Him, and if He desires for us then to make Him known to our community and to the world around us, because He is so wonderful and so glorious, and it is His heart to be known. If this is His will for us, how do we fit into that? What ways has God made and created us individually as He's brought us together here as a local congregation? How has He equipped us? How has He gifted us? How has He made us? And what particular ways is He looking for us to know Him and to make Him known as individuals? We're all different. We all have different gifts and talents, yes, and physical talents, but we also have different gifts from the Spirit, the way God shapes us together. It's amazing when you look at how God has formed all of us sitting here, how He's brought us together, and all of our different abilities and gifts and backgrounds. And yet God has, for this time, knit us all together, called us all here. It's not an accident we're here. Whether we've been sitting here, you've been here for decades, or whether you're here this morning because Mom's here, there's no accident this morning. God has created us as a body. Well, this morning we want to look at how God has equipped us. Not only for fulfilling His vision, but then also as we then look to the next 2 weeks, to the missions conference, how is God equipping us individually to be either senders or goers? Now this time here is a little bit where the rubber hits the road now. We talk about the spiritual gifts that God has given to all believers. Would you open your Bibles, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4. Now, we are going to begin in the second week in June. We're going to begin a study on the book of Ephesians. So we're going to come back to this passage in probably about 4 months or so. Okay, we're going to come back to it. But this, we're going to hit on this in the context of looking at the broader, in the whole scope of Scripture of spiritual gifts this morning. We're going to focus in on this passage here in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. As he's already laid out all this wonderful theological background, now in the second half of the book, beginning this passage, he goes into the practical implications of the theological background. He says in verse 1, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That's why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean? Except that he also descended into the lower earthly regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he, Christ, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." This is one passage. This is really one of four passages in Scripture that talk about the gifts of the Spirit. Sometimes we call them spiritual gifts, but they're really the gifts of the Holy Spirit that He gives to His people, to His believers. One of four passages. Why are we studying? Why are we talking about spiritual gifts? This is a very controversial subject in many ways in the history of the church, or particularly the past 20 years in the history of the church. One reason why we're talking about it is because it's mentioned, there's lists, it's called out four times in the New Testament. Three times by Paul, and actually sort of three and a half times by Paul, and once by Peter. This is a very important topic to God because it's in the Bible so much. So we can't ignore it, even if it's difficult or challenging for us. This is one that God is calling us to understand. That's why He's putting in His Word so much. Secondly, it's important, the reason we're studying it is because it's for the church. The whole purpose here, as we'll see, is about the church. The gifts are given to the church, for the purpose of what God is doing in the church. We're talking about what God's doing in our midst, and therefore we need to look at the means God has used by His Word to equip us as the church to do His work. So that's why we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Well, this passage in Ephesians first begins by Paul laying out a very important principle for us. That is that we are one body in verses 1 through 6. This is a big theme in the book of Ephesians. We'll come back to this again as we study Ephesians. The idea of unity. We are not all in this individually. We're here as the church together. The idea, friends, of a Lone Ranger Christian. Have you heard that term? Someone's a Lone Ranger Christian. It's not biblical. The idea that, well, I have my faith, and I'm just going to go over here by myself and just, I'm going to just, you know, forget about all the other Christians and church and being in fellowship. I'm just going to do my own little thing with God, God and I. That doesn't exist in the Bible. In fact, the exact opposite, that we are to be together. We are to be one. We are to be unified. We also are not to have these divisions in the church. this passage right here says we are one body. You know, in 1 Corinthians 12, which we'll look at briefly, there's a whole illustration there of the body. We won't look at that part, but we'll look at a different part of 12. There's a whole illustration there of the body, that we as a church are like a physical body. We use that word so much, I think we lose the meaning of it. It means that just like my fingers here are not in division with my foot, my finger doesn't hate my foot or speak ill about my foot or disagree and walk away from my foot. No, they're one. They're one together. We're one. We're unified. When I stub my toe, my mouth doesn't laugh at it. Go, ha, 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 that'll teach you, toe. Should have been a mouth like me. No. No. My mind doesn't think ill of my knees. Make fun of them? No. We're one. Unified. Different parts, different purposes, different functions in the body. But we're one together. Why is that so important? Why is it so important here in the passage in Ephesians that he says we're one body? Why is Paul calling this out? Why is he making a big deal of this in light of where he's going, talking about spiritual gifts? Why does God not just suggest, but command that we as his body are one? We represent God. Look in verses 5 and 6, 4, 5 and 6 there. There's one body and one spirit. Verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Friends, we are to be a picture for the world of Jesus. They're to see God through us. If we then have divisions and backbiting and hatred and discord amongst us, which is so often in churches and the church because we're sinful, but when that happens, when people look at that, what do they see about God? Do they see that God is one, is unified, is good, is glorious, is powerful? No. No. See that God isn't even real. See that God is nothing, powerless. If his body is divided, well, then how can he be one glorious God? Maybe there really are 1,000 different gods. After all, look at the people who worship him. They can't agree with each other either. They can't even stand together in love and unified. Unity is not an option. Doesn't mean we all say the same thing. Doesn't mean that we all have to agree or else. It's not what we're talking about here. But it's the unified in love, together in love. Because if we're not, then we're blaspheming God. We're blaspheming God. So first, Paul lays out and says, we're one body. We're one. All of us together. The whole church, universal, across the world, throughout all ages. We are one. Then he goes on in verse 7 to talk about we are one body. But verse 7 through 11, we're given many gifts. One body. Many gifts. That's the he's holding those two and kind of showing them and highlighting one to highlight the other. So one, but many. One body, many gifts. And he goes on to talk about these gifts. Now I want to hit on one thing here. In this middle of this verse, verses 8 and 9, there it talks about, that's a quote from Psalm 68 there, that you know, he ascended and then descended to bring gifts to many. What does it mean that he ascends, that he descends, and it goes on this little thing. We'll talk about that more in 4 months. Okay? If you want to know about that, come talk to me. It's a confusing thing there. It does not mean that Jesus went to hell for the 3 days that he was in the grave. Okay, that's a misunderstanding of this passage here. I do not believe the saying that Jesus descended into hell and spent 3 days in hell, preaching to people who had died before. We'll get to that later. That just confused things a little bit?
Yeah.
That confuses a little bit, huh? The point of that part of the verse is to say that Jesus as the king gives gifts. That's the quote from Psalms. Jesus as the king gives gifts to us. And then it goes on to talk about what those gifts are. Look in verse 11 there. He calls out some of those gifts. If he gives some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. He's listing out what some of the gifts are here. Now, this is not a complete list of gifts. We're going to look at the various lists. This is not a complete list. of the four lists, and I say four and a half because in 1 Corinthians 12, there's actually two lists of gifts in there. So it's four or five, depending upon how you want to look at it. And those different lists of gifts in the Scriptures, they're not the same, those lists. Some of them overlap. Some of them are longer. Some of them are shorter. Some of them have called different purposes, highlight different types of gifts. So it's showing there that this is not a comprehensive list. There's no, you can't compile a complete list of spiritual gifts. It's not intended to be looked at that way. But they are calling out some very specific ones. The ones in this passage are primarily offices within the church. Roles or offices that are within the church. That's how these are primarily laid out in Ephesians. The ones in 1 Corinthians 12 are more special abilities that God has given us as the church. The various gifts that he's given us. One body, but he's given us many different gifts. It's also important to look here in this section, in verses 7 through 11 there, that all Christians have spiritual gifts. Do you feel like you don't know what God has given you, or what God, how God's created you, or what he's calling you to? You feel like maybe, well, gee, I see other people are so talented and so gifted, but what do I have? I'm going to tell you from Scripture, right here in verse 7, but to each one of us, to each one of us, this is reiterated in 1 Corinthians 12, we all have been given spiritual gift or gifts from God. Every single Christian has been given spiritual gifts. So we're talking to all of us here. You can't say, well, I don't have any, that's just not me. Scripture says all have been given them. And then secondly, they are given by God. These gifts are not things that we create ourselves. These are not things that we come up with or just talents that we happen to have. These are not things that we bestow upon one another and give you a little degree and you get a degree in some type of spiritual gift. These are gifts given by God. And again, as 1 Corinthians 12 calls out specifically, given by the Holy Spirit to all believers. These are God's gifts, gifts of the Holy Spirit, given to his people. Well, finally then, in verses 12 and 13, what's the purpose of these gifts? Why is God doing this? Why is God giving gifts to every believer? We're different, we're one body. Why is he doing this? What is his goal, his purpose in giving these gifts to every believer? Verse 12 and 13. For the purposes of, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach maturity in the faith. The purposes of the spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, is that he would build us up, build up the body of Christ, mature us, grow us up into him. Spiritual gifts are not given because we think they're cool for us individually. Spiritual gifts are not for us to be used individually for our own edification or for our own good. They're for giving away to others. He gives us gifts that we might give them away to each other. He uses our individual gifts to bless the body of Christ, to grow the body of Christ, to build us up, to bring us into maturity. That's the whole purpose of spiritual gifts. That's the thing we've got to keep in mind here as we're talking about spiritual gifts. Is he gives them to us individually, but for the purposes of building us up to be unified, to be one. And one body that is loving Jesus. One body that is growing more and more mature in our walk with Jesus every single day. That's the purpose of the spiritual gifts that God has given to us. We'll go through 1 Corinthians 12. It's very similar. It talks about the fact that we are one body. It talks about the fact that there are many gifts. It talks about the fact that it was the Spirit who gives them. And it also mentions the fact that the purpose is for the body, for the building up of the church, for the common good is a phrase that 1 Corinthians 12 uses there. Highlighting these two major passages on spiritual gifts. Well, let's take a look. Let's take a quick look at these four lists that we talk about of spiritual gifts, okay? Look at what the Scriptures call out specifically, the gifts of the Spirit and the references to them. First of all is Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. And it lists gifts there, and this is, you know, taking it right from the text specifically there. Prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, and mercy. These are gifts that are called out. Again, this is not a comprehensive list. There are other gifts. We'll see some mentioned in the other three lists there. But even altogether, they're not comprehensive lists. We can see, though, that these here are each given not just for ourselves, like for teaching. You don't just give a gift to someone to be a teacher so they can go in a closet and just teach by themselves. No, they're there to teach the body, to edify and bless the body. Same with giving mercy, right? There's some of you folks here have amazing gifts of mercy that God has given you. And you know what? Those beautifully are worked usually behind the scenes. Some of the things that you all do is I hear about sometimes like months later that you all do to quietly help someone, whether they're in a physical need or financial need or an emotional need. I just thank God for you, for those who have those gifts of mercy to helping people in beautiful and powerful ways. You are building up the body of Christ when you use your gifts of mercy. Your gift of giving, some folks are exhorted to be have the spiritual gift of giving, that for them there is this extraordinary joy in writing those checks. It's not a drudgery, but there's a joy in that. And that being said, one thing about some of these spiritual gifts is that many of them we're all called to do. We're all called to be giving. We're all called to be merciful. But some folks have a spiritual gift that has an extra oomph of those, an extra blessing involved with some of these spiritual gifts here. So that's the first list in Romans 12. Second list is in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 11. There, Paul calls out wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing spirits, and tongues. Now, this is a list here that gets us a little nervous. This is a tricky list for many of us here. Some of these gifts here have the flavor that we call the miraculous, okay, the fantastic, the special, sometimes called charismatic gifts. Some of them are wrapped up in here. Ones like speaking in tongues, okay? For so many in the church, this is a normal way, a normal part of their worship service. For so many of us, it's one that we don't necessarily understand or believe even exists today. Okay, this is a very controversial one. The idea of are there miracles today? Is there speaking in tongues? What is prophecy? Although that's different, I do believe. But healings today? Do healings exist today? Do these fantastical gifts? These charismatic gifts? The charismatic. That's a redundancy. The word charismatic means gift, so it's gifts. I don't know why that matters, but I want to call out on these, particularly, for example, let's take tongues, for example. All right, and I just want to highlight three things. We spend a lot of time focusing on this type of thing, and I think what it does is it divides us. It doesn't bring us together. And a lot of what we focus on the tongues is outside of the Bible, anyways. A lot of we bring up arguments either for or against that are not what the Scripture is saying. They're outside of the realm of Scripture. So that's not good. We need to be very careful about that. Two things then, the next two things, I want to call out about tongues and the miraculous gifts. One is, as we talked about this when we went through the book of Acts, we studied the book of Acts, speaking in tongues and really all of the gifts, whether they're the miraculous gifts or the ones that we don't consider miraculous, none of them are normative for the church, meaning that none of them are normal, are to be expected. You do not have to speak in tongues to be a Christian. The Bible does not say that. When you look at the book of Acts, those four, in particular, four situations where there were speaking in tongues, it was not every Christian who spoke in tongues. There were, God was doing a new thing. He was bringing his name first to Jerusalem, and so he had this fantastic explosion of speaking, in that case, in other languages. Then he brought his name to Samaria, and again, this pouring out of his spirit in a special way for speaking in tongues. And then when he went on and into Samaria, and they also spoke in tongues. So in the book of Acts, it's not that everyone's speaking in tongues. It's that there are some very specific things God is doing when he's doing a new creation, bringing his witness to a new area. So just to say that do not need to speak in tongues or to have any of these miraculous gifts in order to be a Christian. That's not in the Scriptures. Secondly, there is no biblical statement, this is controversial, I mean, but I do not believe there's a biblical statement that says that the gifts have stopped. Now, some folks will try to point to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 10, and look at some of the verbiage there and some of the tenses of the verbs and try to say that's referring to certain things ceasing. I don't believe that's true. That's an incorrect interpretation of that scripture. Same with the passage in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Again, we're only, the danger here is dredging up controversy where, for many of you, you don't see a controversy, and I apologize for that. But I just want to say that there's no biblical passage that I can see, even those ones that I mentioned that are often referenced, that are saying that these miraculous gifts have stopped today, that they don't exist anymore. So both are true. While they're not normal and they don't have to exist in a church, neither do I see the Scripture saying that they can't exist in a church. Okay? Now, for many of us here, it's not part of our normal worship. That's not part of how God has functioned through us, and they're confusing to us, and if you ever see it, it's a little bit, you know, it's uncomfortable for us, and well, praise God, that's okay. I haven't spoken in tongues, don't plan to speak in tongues, I don't see that as God would do anything like that. I know some dear folks who have and believe they have, and I trust God in that. I think we have to look biblically and say there's nothing that says that we can't, that it can't be happening. If God chooses to, then He will do that. The one thing that we need to do, though, is, again, go by the Scriptures. And in the Scriptures, it does say if someone is speaking in tongues in a church, that there needs to be an interpretation, that there can't just be chaos, there can't be disorder in worship, that there has to be an English interpretation if we're in an English congregation. So we just need, again, to go by the Scriptures on this here. Have I lost everyone? Some? Okay, good. Praise God. Thank you, Angela. God bless you. No, it's okay. Good. Okay. The third list is the Ephesians list that we just called out, Ephesians 4:11, where he calls out apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Not necessarily a hierarchy here, though some have tried to claim that. These are more offices in the church, different roles that they have in the church. And then the fourth one is 1 Peter 4:11, where there's just two mentioned, speaking and service. Not speaking in tongues, right, but just speaking. Speaking to edify one another, whether it's a public forum, whether it's one-on-one speaking. And then doing service, giving service to one another. These are not exhaustive lists, as we said, but these are just a kind of range of the various gifts that God has given. Look at this broad array of gifts that God has given to us. All of these here are listed so that we could grow into Jesus, that we would bless one another, that we would be unified, not divided, that we would love one another, that we would help each other know Jesus a little bit better. That's why someone has the gift of mercy, because when someone's hurting and maybe not seeing God, that someone with the gift of mercy can come along and be the hands and feet of Jesus at that time. That's why God has the gift of giving, so that there's funds available to do the work of ministry, which unfortunately costs money to do. So God equips people to do giving. That's why there's the gift of leadership for those who are called by God to lead in the church. And the gift of leadership is confused these days too. We talk a lot about the gift of leadership today in the church, and a lot of times if you look at the definitions, you can find them often at Harvard Business School too, you know, so we kind of take what we mean in the business world by leadership and we apply it to the church. I think that's not right. But there is a gift of leadership, Romans chapter 12 there. God has given us these gifts, and every one of you who call in the name of Jesus, every one of you who are born again, you have spiritual gifts for the purpose of building up the church, for the purpose of working together, for the purpose of accomplishing God's purpose in us, which is to bring us to maturity, to bring us to unity. That's why He's given us the gifts. So I want to ask us, what are your gifts? What are your gifts of the Spirit that He has given to you? First of all, if you're not a believer in Christ, you don't have the spiritual gifts. invites you to accept Christ, to bow before Jesus, to surrender your life to Jesus. There's your true peace. There's your true joy. There is your eternal life. And in doing so, the Holy Spirit gives you and gives all who call upon Jesus gifts. What are your gifts? Do you know your spiritual gifts? Do you know them? There's many ways for us to determine our gifts. A lot of times it's through other people in the body of Christ, right? Other people will see you using your gifts and call them out and say, you know what? When I was hurting the other week and you came along and you called me and you picked me up and you brought me a cup of soup, man, yeah, that really helped me. That really blessed me when you did that. Maybe you have some gifts of mercy. If you find that you've been doing some Sunday school teaching and you love teaching those kids, you love seeing those kids and they learn a little bit more about Jesus, or you love when you learn something to share that with other people, you may have gifts of teaching. Maybe someone else will call that out. Maybe you'll lead a Bible study and someone will say, you know, you really helped me understand God when you were teaching that Bible study. You may have gifts of teaching. Another way that we can determine our gifts, and I'd encourage you all to do this, is to take a spiritual gifts inventory. In your bulletin, I've listed a few that are online. They're inside the big page. That's not very helpful. On the inside of the bulletin here is a couple of different ones that are online. They're online gift tested. If you don't have internet access, let me know. I'll get you a hard copy of one. A lot of caveats. Think about this. If something is from the Spirit of God and we try to put it in a test, how successful is that going to be? Not so much, right? We're going to kind of mess that up a little bit. How can we quantify something that is of the Spirit of God? So all of these spiritual gift inventory tests, and there are dozens of them, they are not authoritative. They are not, you know, God is not looking over them, you know, with his, speaking through them as he speaks through his holy word. They all have problems. They all have, you know, different, but they're trying their best to help us discern some ways in which God could be working, in which God could be working in us, in which God could be gifting us. So I'd recommend, give it a try. Go for it. Take one of these online inventories and see if it helps you. Say, you know what? It said that, you know, the teaching, you know, might be a gift of mine. And, you know, I see that. Let me go talk to some friends. Or come talk to me. I'd love to see that. The purpose for this all here is to say, how can you be plugged in to what God is doing here in our midst? How can God use you? If it is teaching, maybe we need to talk about Sunday school or some small group Bible studies. If it is mercy, maybe we need to talk about Stephen's ministry and the training coming up in the fall. If it is giving, maybe we need to help you find ways in which you can fulfill that. Different organizations, different ways, whatever. But take a look at your spiritual inventory. Go ahead and take one of those. Understand that they're not all perfect. I mean, none of them are perfect. They're very, very flawed. But take a look at one of those. And maybe start to find out, how does God want to use you to build his church? Find out what our spiritual gifts are. Discover and use your gifts from the Spirit of God for the purpose of building up his church. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, I pray that through your Spirit you would bring clarity and truth here this morning. This has been a topic that Satan has used to divide churches and denominations and fellow believers, oh God, and I pray that just would not be so here. That, oh God, you would use the way you're working in our midst, the way you have equipped each individual here, Father God. You would use it for your glory and for the building of your church. I thank you, God, that you are equipping every believer to do work of ministry. I pray, Father God, that you would help us here to see and learn and grow in our understanding of how you have equipped us and how you want to use us for ministry. You are a good God, that you give gifts to us. Thank you, Father. May we now give those gifts back to your body to bless one another, that we would grow into Christ, who is the head. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.